Welcome to the Stronger Marriage Podcast. We're Trey and Lee. Glad you joined us this week.
We are glad to be back with you after cruising
the Caribbean.
Yeah, I had to stop and think where we went.
Is it Caribbean or Caribbean?
Yes.
I think one of those.
I think some people say it one way and some say it the other.
Very good. Well, we're glad you joined us today. Today is January the 24th, 2024. We had a great retreat in Galveston with a bunch of couples that showed up there. And then we got on a boat and with another big group of couples and went on a marriage cruise. It was a lot of fun.
It was fun. I'm glad to be home after being gone for 9 days and just barely getting moved into a new place.
We're still trying to
get settled in and make things feel like home.
So I've had Lee at my office today helping me put stuff on my walls and kind of, she's really good at decorating and putting stuff on walls and putting things where they're supposed to go. And she shows up at the office and I say, all right, you're going to have to stop right there and help me do this for a while. So anyway, she's been here working. I said, let's sit down and do a podcast. So we're going to share with you some kind of some behind the scenes marriage killers. And these are very sneaky. These are things that just sneak in. You don't see them coming. And before you know it, you're like, what has happened to our marriage? This is not healthy. And so we want to talk about some things. Now, there are some big marriage killers out there.
Yeah.
Just stuff that everybody knows. You know, if affairs kill marriage, addictions killed marriage. Excessive anger kills marriage. There's a lot of big marriage killers out there. But these are kind of some sneaky things that if you're not watching real close, if you let these things grow in your marriage before you know it, you're like, what's happened to my marriage? My marriage has turned into not a very good marriage.
Right. Yeah. You look across the table and think, I don't know you very well. I don't like you very well. Yeah. So let's talk about some of these.
All right. We're going to go through a list pretty quick of some things we wrote down that we think are just kind of behind the scenes, kind of secret, silent little marriage killers. One of them is one we talk about often, but we can't not bring it back up, letting the friendship die.
Friends spend time together. They talk on a regular basis. They spend time together. They like doing things together. They have lots of common interests.
You got married because you fell in love with
That's
your
right.
best friend. You hung out. You know, when we fell in love, it was because we were doing stuff all the time together. And it was like, I need to marry my best friend. What happens over time in marriage, if you're not careful, is you get a little lazy or you get a little comfortable and you quit working on that friendship. You quit spending time together. And before you know it, that friendship kind of dies out. And we have couples reach out to us sometimes and they'll say, I don't feel in love like I was. And really, it's not I've fallen out of love. It's really I've fallen out of friendship. And that's where couples kind of really struggle is in their friendship. And that's why you've got to have conversation and you've got to spend time learning to do new things together.
Yeah.
Spending time doing new stuff.
Yeah. But bottom line, friends have got to stay connected somehow, whether it's through conversation or spending time together. I mean, you think about, you know, friends that you have that are not your spouse. You know, I think about friends that I was really, really close friends with in school. And once we moved away from each other, we kind of lost contact. And now I just, you know, we're still friends, but
not close friends.
Not close friends, yeah, like we used to be. Because we don't spend time together anymore. We don't talk a lot anymore. So you've got to keep that connection going.
And if you're in a marriage where you have a long distance relationship, meaning maybe your spouse is deployed or maybe they're a pilot or maybe they're gone for certain amounts of time, that's a struggle. Don't believe the myth. And it is a myth that absence makes a heart grow fonder. Absence is hard on your marriage, and you're going to have to work extra hard to keep that friendship alive in talking and communicating about things. That's where you
as often as you can.
As often as you can.
Yeah.
Second thing on the list.
Letting the romance die.
Yeah, romance is a big part of relationship. Without that intimacy, we're not specifically talking sex here, but without the intimacy there, you just kind of, you don't have a lot. You're just living in the same house together.
Yeah. So some examples of romance. Doing just sweet little things for each other. Maybe you fix your wife's coffee and bring it to her while she's still in bed. What else?
Holding hands.
Yeah, just little things like that.
Husbands, let me throw this out there. This is probably really big to your wife. Hold her hand. Hold her hand in the car. Hold her hand when you're out in public. But hold her hand. Little kisses. Don't ever come in from work and not say, come in and say hello to your spouse or give them a kiss. Give them a kiss before you go to bed at night. Touch before you go to bed at night. Romance is the little things. It's bringing your spouse their favorite coffee. It's stopping by their workplace if they're in a work position to where they have time to stop for a second. It is just those little things. A mm-hmm. sweet text in the afternoon that says, I was thinking about you.
Yes, absolutely.
So keep that work to keep that romance alive. Valentine's Day is coming up, and we like Valentine's Day. It's pretty commercialized. We will do something for Valentine's Day just because we do something all the time. We celebrate our love not just on Valentine's Day, but all the time. And be one of those people that doesn't wait until Valentine's Day or birthday or anniversary to send the flowers, to wear the lingerie, to snuggle up next to your spouse, to send... I sent send the flowers, didn't I? Send flowers
it's
twice.
Okay. Flowers twice, unless...
She's not a flower lady.
She's not a flower person.
Lee's not a flower person.
No, I'm
she
not.
Would rather have something else. So
I want something that's not going to die in a week.
That's so, right. Yeah. But if your wife's the flower lady, you send them.
Send the flowers.
Send the flowers.
Yes.
Just learn what it is. Figure out what your spouse's romance language is and romance them the way they like
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah. So the next one is hurting each other on purpose.
Yeah, that's a big no-no, and that is a marriage killer. It's when you go out of your way to go, I'm going to dig at my wife or my husband. I'm going to specifically do something that annoys them on purpose. I'm purposely going to try to get under their skin. I am purposely going to try to hurt them. Man, you're not just hurting them. You're hurting your marriage, and so that's basically hurting you because two are one flesh. And when you are trying to hurt your spouse, you're hurting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, man, don't ever think, how can I hurt my spouse? How can I get even? Maybe with your words, maybe with your actions. But be very cautious about ever purposely trying mm-hmm. to hurt your spouse on purpose.
And you may be thinking, why in the world would I ever want to hurt my spouse on purpose? Well, maybe they did something that made you a little bit angry or hurt your feelings. And maybe it wasn't an intentional thing they did, but you're just like, you're going to get back at them. You know, you want to make them realize that, hey, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. So sometimes, not sometimes, but all the time in marriage, you need to be the bigger person.
Right.
And if your spouse hurts you, you know, you forgive. We got to be good forgivers. We talked about that, I think, last week, that we got to be good forgivers in marriage, because there's going to come a time when you're going to need forgiveness, when you don't maybe intentionally do something, but it's when you think, hey, I'm going to intentionally let them know they hurt me by hurting them back, that things are not good.
There's no phrase that says hurt people hurt people. And when you're hurting, your first response is to hurt other people. And so be cautious that if you're in a bad place and you've been hurt, that you're just not automatically thinking, how can I hurt them too? They should feel this as well. That's hard on your marriage.
Yes.
A fourth way that's kind of a secret behind the scenes way that hurts your marriage is letting issues grow without dealing with them, mm-hmm. knowing that there's an issue. Generally, this is a man problem. I can say this, I'm a man. Meaning a lot of times wives bring up, honey, we really could use to talk about this. And as a man, you kind of go, if you would just ignore it, it will go away. If you'll quit bringing this up all the time,
it's going to work itself out.
It will work itself out. Mm. And that's really not the case.
Yeah.
You can't let issues grow. All you're doing is kicking the can down the road, and you're going to walk up to the can again. You can't just keep kicking it. At some point, it's going to be a huge issue. Can you imagine having a doctor telling you that, you know, hey, you may have cancer and we need you to come in for some tests, and you just automatically going, you know, and maybe you don't show back up to the doctor, and he reaches back out and goes, hey, I really want you to come back. We need to make sure you're okay. And you're going, hey, will you please quit bringing this up? Because if you just quit bringing it up, it'll go away. That would be dumb. And everybody listening would be going, nobody would do that. That's the exact same thing people do by not dealing with issues. It's a little cancer in your relationship. And what you need to do is, with your spouse, go to work on it and fix it. There's nothing wrong with conflict. We're not telling you go have conflict, but conflict can be very healthy at healing in your marriage.
Yeah. You know, and there are some personalities that will just avoid conflict at all cost, but
that mean me.
You, and it's not fun. Conflict is not fun. But it can make things better if you'll just every once in a while have those hard talks. And we've actually done a podcast episode on how to have hard talks.
That's right. With your spouse.
With your spouse. Sometimes you just have to say, hey, can we just schedule a little sit down this evening? We need to talk about a couple of things.
Yeah, sometimes when you really need to get something across to your spouse, it's not a, well, I told him while he was fixing his coffee right before he left this morning. That's not the way you do things. You say, hey, hon, when you get in tonight, can we sit down and have a little bit of time to talk?
Yeah.
And so,
if you need to have a hard talk with your spouse, then maybe look up that episode and give that a listen.
Yeah, or reach out to us and we'll find it for you. Taking your spouse for granted, that'd be way number five of behind the scenes little killers. And that's where you just kind of automatically think, my spouse is supposed to do this, or they do it all the time and you stop saying thank you for little stuff and you just start kind of taking them for granted. Nobody likes to not feel appreciated. And so when your spouse goes out of their way to do something, even if it's for your marriage and not just for you specifically, you could still stop and go, thank you for taking time to do all that. I know you put in a lot of work to get that done.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell your spouse thank you. Tell them that you appreciate them. Tell them, you know, that you notice what they do for you and your family. Make sure you're not taking those little things for granted.
Did you know you told me thank you the other day for carrying off boxes? You didn't know that, did you?
I was appreciative.
We had 5 million boxes after our move, and I've been recycling boxes, and it's been a chore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you said thank you, and it was kind of like, oh, I got this. Thank you for letting me know that this has been a pain in my neck.
Yes.
But I can get them broke down and I can get them hauled off, and I appreciated that.
Yes. So say thank you. Let your spouse know that you appreciate them.
Don't take them for granted.
Yes.
Number six kind of ties in with what we talked about in letting the friendship die, but this is not making time for your marriage. Again, don't get comfortable. Anything you invest in, it becomes valuable.
Mm-hmm.
If I invest in a stock, I start valuing that stock. I start watching it. I start looking at it. I might actually buy stuff. You know, if I bought stock in American Airlines, I might start flying American Airlines. When you invest in something and put effort into it, it becomes valuable to you. I invest in all my kids. They become very valuable to me. When you invest in your marriage with time and money, your marriage becomes more valuable to you. And that means taking the trip, going to the workshop, taking a date night, finding a babysitter, whatever it is, but making time for your marriage.
Yeah. And this is when, you know, those first two that we talked about, letting the friendship die, letting the romance die. If you're not making time and putting a little bit of, you know, money and things like that into your marriage, then the friendship and the romance is going to die. You've got to make time for those things.
Let's do one more. Okay. Another, this is a big one. And this is one that a lot of couples don't realize. This is one of those that couples get into, and it's called a stalemate. And it's, according to Gottman, it's one of the four horsemen. And they have some little four horsemen that are actually marriage killers, as in, like, don't let one of the four horsemen. And stalemates are one of those where you get to a point in your marriage where you stop saying, what does my spouse need or what can I do to help my spouse? And you just start with, until my spouse does this for me, I'm not doing anything for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you get in a stalemate because your spouse is over here probably doing the same thing, going, well, I'm not doing anything for them until they start doing some things for me. And you get in a stalemate and you literally will kill your marriage with these stalemates. It's like the couple we met one time, and we asked him what could you do to have a better marriage? And he pointed at his wife and said, if she would just do this. And we asked her, what could you do? And she said, well, if he would start doing this. And before you knew it, they were in just a huge stalemate because neither of the other ones wanted to kick in and be the first person to do anything.
Yeah, that's right. It's selfishness. It's just when you're thinking about what I need and what my spouse can do to meet my needs, and you're not putting any thought or effort into what does my spouse need from me today. And sometimes you just have to get to that point where maybe they're not doing anything for you, but sometimes you just have to get past the selfishness and go, okay, they're not doing anything for me, but I'm still going to love them, do for them, anyway. Right. And when you do that, chances are they're going to kick in and they're going to reciprocate. So that's somebody finally has to break that cycle of, I'm not going to do it until they do it.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be, like we said earlier, somebody's got to be the bigger person here.
Don't get yourself in a stalemate. So we've had 15 minutes of fun. Yeah. I think that's great. We kind of shoot for that every week. That's kind of our goal. How about we close out today with a prayer asking God to bless all our marriages? Would that be okay?
That sounds fantastic.
All right. Father, we just ask your blessing upon all those who are listening today for marriages out there that are struggling. We pray that you would help them to be stronger in every area of intimacy, sexually, intellectually, emotionally, recreationally, just all the financially. We pray for openness and honesty in marriages. We pray for the marriage killers not to sneak in. Help us to keep our eyes open and watch for those little things that could hurt our marriage. Bless our marriages, and thank you, Father, for giving us the ability to both give love and receive love. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all have a great time, and we'll see y'all in a couple of weeks.
Bye.